We have a report from China as the coronavirus changes holiday travel plans there. I'm David Brancaccio. It is Lunar New Year's Eve in China, a time when friends and family gather, but that tradition of holiday connection typically means an enormous amount of travel within China at a scale way beyond the Wednesday before Thanksgiving in the U.S. However, this year, there's the concern over the coronavirus that's killed 26 people and more than 800 people sickened, according to the official figures. Authorities have locked down the city of Wuhan and several surrounding cities, and plans are being changed nationwide, including in Shanghai, where I'm joined by our China correspondent, Jennifer Pak. Hi there.
Hi, David.
How is the response to this virus changing what had been massive plans for travel?
Well, people are choosing to stay in. 24 hours ago, I had invitations to a reunion dinner, a weekend trip to eastern Zhejiang province to see a friend. But once Wuhan was locked down, even though we're 500 miles away, people are nervous about potential exposures. So now I've been uninvited to both.
All right, so micro effects. And businesses?
Well, the travel industry is taking a big hit. Some 400 million trips usually made during this holiday. That's like travel in the U.S. during Thanksgiving times three. Hotels and airlines are now being asked to refund travelers. But there are two businesses not suffering, those selling face masks, there's a shortage now, and food delivery platforms.
Food delivery. What about the screening process for people who might be potentially infected?
So we've heard of patients being turned away from overcrowded hospitals. Authorities are building temporary facilities within the next few days to address this. But there is a sense that officials are not revealing things in a timely fashion. That's why people outside of the epicenter are almost in self-imposed quarantine, which impacts the local economy.
All right. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Checking markets, the FTSE index in London is up 1.6%. Here, Dow and S&P futures are both up about 0.2%. The Hang Seng index in Hong Kong, after several days of losses with concern about that virus, closed up 0.2%. Starting today, new restrictions take effect for international visitors planning to give birth in the United States with a view to getting U.S. citizenship, Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
There's a growing business for high-priced international agencies who coach a particular clientele on how to skirt U.S. immigration rules. Melissa Michelson teaches about politics and immigration at Menlo College in California.
If you have enough money to come to the United States just to give your kid U.S. citizenship, you are probably coming and spending quite a bit of money in the United States.
But the new rules may restrict those coming here for treatment, not a passport, says Jonathan Edelheit, chair of the Medical Tourism Association.
There's a lot of women who have to come to the U.S. because they are able to perform state-of-the-art robotic and gynecology surgeries that aren't available overseas.
The new rules also say anyone coming to the U.S. for medical treatment must prove they can pay for it. Edelheit says that will further depress the multi-billion-dollar medical tourism industry, which he estimates is down 30% to 40% in the last few years. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
The official moment for Britain leaving the European Union is in 1 week, Brexit Day, next Friday, January 31st. Britain will technically leave the EU, although it will remain subject to EU rules and regulations till the end of this year. There have been predictions of disaster for the UK economy, but one sector that so far defied the uncertainty is tech. Britain's tech industry is still way ahead of its European rivals. London has 45 startups worth $1 billion, that is to say unicorns, versus 10 for its closest competitor, Berlin, Germany. From one London tech hub, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Many tech hubs like this one have sprung up in London since the referendum. Sean Winfield runs a company here helping startups. In spite of the Brexit uncertainties, she says BritTech is buzzing.
There's a lot of excitement and drive and awesome tech out there growing and developing and being successful.
Investors are optimistic too. While the capital invested in tech startups in the US and China fell last year, in Britain it jumped by 44%. Medical tech had a bumper year.
My first impression of Perseus is that it's a more flexible robotic system.
This surgical robot firm raised $250 million. FinTech startups like online banks raised $5.5 billion. Tech investment in Europe as a whole was up by around a third, but says Tom Vehmeyer of venture capital firm Atomico, the UK easily outstripped its European rivals.
London specifically is the European tech capital, and the UK is the single most important country in Europe for technology today.
Why? Because of the presence of a global financial centre in London, he says, and the relative ease of setting up a business here, and...
London has the most internationally diverse base of technical talent of any hub across Europe.
The danger is that the end of the free movement of European citizens into Britain after Brexit will reduce that flow of talent. Antoine Poisson is with the Antler venture capital firm.
And now we see other centres emerging in Southern Europe, in Spain and Portugal. Berlin's been very big on e-commerce companies. Paris is very clearly on the rise.
These continental centres have all stepped up their support for tech. And yet, he says...
London will most probably stay at the forefront.
In spite of Brexit.
In spite of Brexit.
Such is the British capital's critical mass, he says, with 45 unicorns to Berlin's 10, that London is unlikely in the short term to lose its crown. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.